Everyone agrees, bacon makes everything better. Even marketing. This is the Bacon Podcast, where you'll learn to cure your marketing.
And make your business sizzle.
Can't believe I said that.
Internet marketing. Online marketing. Social media tips and techniques. Now, to help you bring more bacon home, the master of marketing sizzle, Brian Basilico. This is the Bacon Podcast.
Welcome, everybody. I'm your host, Brian Basilico, and this is the podcast where you learn to make your business sizzle online. So are you ready to fry up some new business?
Hey, peeps, I am ultra excited. Today, we're going to be talking LinkedIn with Ted Prodomo, and he is known as America's leading LinkedIn coach. Not just America's best LinkedIn coach or just America's LinkedIn coach. He's America's leading LinkedIn coach. So, Mr. Leading Ted, how the heck are you today?
Oh, I'm great.
Awesome, dude. Well, now, we've kind of put this off because you've just released, version 3 of your book? It's The Ultimate Guide to LinkedIn for Business, or is it 4?
Comes out, yeah, next week.
Awesome, dude. Well, congratulations on that. I mean, and it's one of those kind of things, and that's why I want to have you on, is, you know, I've been on LinkedIn since 2004. I've seen this thing from its infancy to Microsoft buying it in 2016 to where it's at today. And I kind of wanted to pick your brain a little bit for my audience and say, okay, dude, what's new? You had to change the book. You had to write some new stuff. So what are some of the key things that you're seeing that are kind of the leading edge of what's happening with LinkedIn? So jump right in, man. What's going on?
Sure. I've been calling it the Microsoft effect, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Because they bought them a little over two years ago. And LinkedIn's revenues were like just under $1 billion. Last year, LinkedIn's revenue was $5.2 billion.
Wow.
LinkedIn's finally, Microsoft's turning LinkedIn into a really powerful network. So they've been doing a lot of changes, all behind the scenes stuff. Like, it's not like Microsoft's coming out saying, we're doing this, we're doing that. But it seems like you can post content and it's getting seen by more people. The native videos are working really well for a lot of people. And I've got to start doing that more often myself.
Mm-hmm.
And they're actually revamping the ad platform. And I did some testing last week and I actually got some leads for $9 an opt-in, a very targeted audience.
Wow.
Really awesome stuff. So I paid about $5 a click and I ran it for like a day and my credit card was actually expired because I hadn't run ads in about a year. So they stopped it after $60. I got 9 opt-ins for $60. Executive level in the entrepreneurial marketplace, like job title entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
That just blew me away because usually it was like $5 to $10 a click, but a conversion was $50 to $60 a year ago.
See, that's awesome. Now, one of the things, we had a conversation a while ago, we just kind of off the cuff, and it wasn't on this podcast, but one of the things that you told me is the way that Microsoft is making its money is that about 70% of its business is based on basically jobs, about 25% is based on premium services, and that 5%, you know, and again, these numbers are very rough, is based on their ad platform. So there's a lot of opportunity in the advertising side. And the other thing I think that people really got to focus on is if you're in the business-to-business space, this is the playground to be on, as opposed to Facebook, which is a lot more business-to-consumer. You can still hit B2B people there. But this is a playground for business-to-business people. Would you agree?
Oh, these are business professionals that have corporate money to spend on your services, which is awesome. And they're in the business mindset. It's funny because I'll be interacting with somebody on LinkedIn and they're kind of real professional and polite. And then 5 minutes later, I see them on Facebook and they're posting crazy pictures and they're ranting about stuff. It's like bipolar people. It's really amazing to see the same person's personality shift in 5 minutes.
Yeah, it's a different world. There's no question about it on LinkedIn. And so some of the other things that I've kind of noticed and maybe kind of expand on this a little bit is, groups kind of went away. They're starting to get at least a little bit more traction. And the other thing I've noticed is there's a big emphasis on business and quote unquote brand pages now. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, they rolled that out late last year. They call it not a company page anymore. It's called a page. And they're calling it a community, but I don't see much community on these business pages yet. What I'm seeing They put the groups over in your sidebar now so you can try to interact. I don't see any interaction when I go to groups. Or I'm seeing all the community engagement is with these hashtags. So if you follow the sales hashtag, I think there's 12 million people following the sales hashtag. And there's actually conversations. People are posting content with that hashtag and people are commenting, liking, and sharing it, which is what they used to do in groups. I think that's the new community.
I think groups got hijacked because there was a point where, you know, some of these groups grew so big that people were actually buying and selling them. And they were kind of taken over by brand ambassadors. In other words, they wanted to post their stuff and invite everybody in. And if you tried to post something and say, oh, no, it's against my rules. You can't comment or put anything in that would sell you or you know, even promote you or a blog post or, you know, podcast or any of that kind of stuff. And it really kind of took the wind out of the sails of groups because groups on, you know, Facebook tend to be a lot more sharing, caring, interaction kind of stuff. Yeah, there's rules, you know, but it tends to be a little bit more open, I think, than what LinkedIn turned into. So I really think that, you know, it wasn't so much LinkedIn or Microsoft that killed the groups. I really think it was just the, you know, the culture of these people basically taking these things over and really clamping down on the ability for people to interact. Would you agree?
Yeah, and a lot of my quote-unquote competitors were teaching. They had software where you could just blast your content to, you could join 50 groups and then you could blast the same article to all 50 groups at the same time automatically. And then nobody interacted with it, but they were just blasting content.
Mm-hmm.
They were not teaching people to go interact with people in groups. So it was like, just blast, buy from me, buy from me, buy from me. So nobody was going back there.
Right. And I know that LinkedIn has really clamped down on any kind of automated services, right?
Right. I remember you could join a group of a million people and you could message all those people, even if you weren't connected.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody would just like, I'm going to join this group and I'm going to just start sending LinkedIn messages to everybody in this group until they connect with me or buy from me. And then LinkedIn changed the rules a couple of years ago where you can only send 15 messages a month to group members that you're not connected with. So that really cut down the group spam. Yeah, it's cat and mouse game for sure. The aggressive marketers go for it and then LinkedIn shuts them down. It's kind of like with Facebook and Google, mm-hmm. fill in the blank.
Right.
Find something that works and we'll just kill it.
Right. And that's pretty much it. I mean, it's people gaming the system. And you know, one of the things that you and I agree on 100% is it's really, I mean, LinkedIn is a relationship building platform first. I mean, you can message somebody, and we all know this, and I call it the connect and pitch, you know, where somebody jumps on and sends you a connection, and 30 seconds later after you accept it, they've immediately got a, you know, copy and paste message in your inbox about how they've got the greatest thing since buttered bread, you know, and, you know, they want you to spend an hour watching their webinar and, you know, and then let's set up a phone call so I can tell you how great I am in person. You know, it's like, you've got nothing better to do but to listen to my crap. Well, one of the things I've done, Ted, which I think you'll find entertaining, is I've actually created a webinar saying, hey, thanks for sending me your sales message. Now that I've got your attention, want to learn how to use LinkedIn properly? And I basically do a micro webinar to everybody who connects with me and does a pitch. You know, that way I can, you know, I basically put it right back in their face. I haven't gotten anybody to buy off it, but, you know, I just at least it gets their attention.
I've got an app on my phone called RoboKiller that does that to telemarketers.
But it's just, you know, it's just copy and paste the link. And, you know, it was a short little micro webinar that I did. And it just, you know, again, you know, it's like a little bit of a, you know, give them a little bit of their own wasabi.
Oh, some of these cut and paste messages are trying to be so authentic and they care about you and they want to help you. It's like, mm-hmm. this is obviously cut and paste template.
Well, my favorite one was the one who, you know, this woman was saying, hey, you got to check out our new audio platform, blah, 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 blah. And I said, okay, cool. Well, I've got a podcast. What's the difference between your audio platform and my podcast? Hey, you've got to check out our new audio platform, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, Yeah, I don't know if it was before or after they clamped down on the robocalls, but it was like, okay, yeah, send me the same message twice. I get it. You're, you know, it ain't working. So what are some of the other cool things or some of the new things that people need to pay attention to? You know, you mentioned video, you mentioned, you know, pages. I think that business pages, from my perspective, the reason that they're putting so much emphasis on that is because they want companies to get everybody in their company to basically associate with that page so they can do more with the job side of things, because that's where I see a lot of stuff happening. But I think there's more you can do with it. I've been working with a handful of companies and trying to get them to post their core content in there and then tell all their salespeople, hey, we posted this new content, share it from there. So it kind of gives like a sharing platform for other employees of the company to be able to share from. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's exactly what the change they made late last year. We used to post on our company page and only people that were following you saw that.
Mm-hmm.
So I had like 98 followers. I don't try to get a lot of people to follow my company page because it's, you know, you got so many places you got to get people to follow you.
Right.
Now I can post content there and use hashtags and it goes out to all of LinkedIn. So you're getting a lot of engagement there.
Yeah, which is good. That really helps. And what about the article side? Because again, you can post articles, you can post posts. I mean, after they killed Pulse, it just seems like that it was like the death of the article. You know, I just don't find as much engagement in there. I mean, I used to get, you know, hundreds of people responding, liking, commenting, doing stuff, and now I post it and I'm lucky if I see three.
Right. They killed it when they removed Pulse. If you don't catch it in the news feed, you don't see it.
Right. So what's the alternative? What do we do?
So I've been experimenting with just putting plain text posts in there as opposed to articles. You can do, I think, up to 2,000 characters, maybe 1,500, 2,000 in a post, and don't put any images and don't link off of LinkedIn. And that seems to get some pretty good engagement if it's the right topic. And then I'm testing, I'm having a lot of people are debating this. If you link off of LinkedIn, like to your website, they're not showing it to as many people. Then other people saying, no, it works just fine if you don't add the image. So it's
really?
Yeah. So I'm experimenting. I'll post the same post like over a few days. One time I'll add an image and just a short intro with a link to my website. Another one I won't link off to my website, and I haven't come to a real definitive conclusion yet, but the subject matter obviously matters a lot. That's clear.
No, and I agree. I mean, it's basically something I call a read more post, and so it's that opening line is so important because you want people to click read more. And I thought it was 1,200 characters. Is it up to 2,000? Because at one point it was a limit of 1,200 characters.
You know, I pull in content from different sources through Sendable, and I pull in articles from Inc.com, and they post like thousands of characters. But if I try to cut and paste that same thing in there, it won't let me.
Interesting.
So I don't know. It doesn't look great. It's all text. There's no image. There's no link to the article. It's the full article. And it's way more than 2,000 characters. But if I try to paste in there, I've heard 1,200 to 1,500, and someone said 2,000. I've just got to do a post and see.
Yeah. I mean, at one point I know it was 1,200 because I've hit that limit. And I don't know if they've changed it or not recently. But, you know, 1,200 characters sounds like a lot, but it's not. It's, you know, it's a couple of paragraphs. And I tend to break them into sentences. You know, so it's sentence, sentence, sentence. And usually it's about like 8 to 10 sentences is what you get in there.
Right. But because people are reading it on their mobile for the most part. So you got to give them some space. You don't want all text.
Right. Exactly. And then the other thing I think is important is the image does make a difference. You know, the straight text, I haven't played with straight text, and that's an interesting philosophy. But I, you know, one of the things I always hear is scroll stopping. You know, is if you put something up there that has an image that grabs people's attention, it gets them to pay attention, you know, as opposed to just text. Because you're competing with one of my all-time favorite LinkedIn posts, The Talking Head. Hi, I just want to talk about the color blue today. The blue is the most beautiful color because it is the sun, you know, unfiltered, and it makes you, and if you do that, you're going to get more sales. You know, it's like, oh, geez, you know, like I'm going to spend 20 minutes listening to somebody rattle off on that kind of stuff. And it's, you know, it's a sales pitch. You know, it's just, it's esoteric. I mean, it's, you know, unless it's somebody you really know, like, and trust, you aren't going to stop and listen to it. I mean, Bob Berg did something like that. Boy, I'd, you know, stop. Because I know
that. Like, they're all being like Tony Robbins, but they don't have the authority that Tony Robbins has.
Or any good content. You know, it's one thing to have authority. It's another thing to have a message with, you know, some kind of actable, you know, content or something along those lines, you know, so that makes a big difference.
Well, live video is supposed to be rolling out. I don't know if you got it yet or not. I haven't got it yet.
I don't have it yet, and, you know, I haven't played with it. But there's so many different ways to get video in there. I mean, I have a Vimeo account. Vimeo will automatically post, you know, I post it to Vimeo. It automatically gets video on my feed. You know, there's tons of different ways to do it. You can upload it, but they limit it to 10 minutes. I tried that the other day. And it's crazy because, you know, I had a 14-minute video. I tried uploading it, said, nope, 10 minutes only. But then I went to Vimeo and put that Vimeo in there, and it's over 14 minutes, but for some reason it works. So
they won't show it to as many people if it's not native, in theory.
Exactly. Yes. But, you know, it just happened to be 14 minutes. You know, it was a micro webinar. And that's one of the things that I've been doing a lot of is micro webinars, you know, and now I know that I have to keep them under 10 minutes. So I'm more conscious of that.
I wonder if you record it directly from the app. You know, you click on the little camera.
You know,
video, if you go more than 10 minutes, I'm going to test that after our call here.
Yeah, I don't know either. I haven't tried it, but all I know is the upload was 10 minutes and that's it. And it just stopped it. It wouldn't do
exactly.
It. You know, so, but those are, you know, I get that. You know, the average attention span, and I've been in the music business forever. You know, the average attention span is 3 minutes. That's why songs are 3 minutes. You know, unless you're, you know, Green Grass and High Tides or Stairway to Heaven or Freebird, you know. I'm dating myself, but, you know, but that's the truth. You know, there's that rare occasion where something will, you know, stick out. But in average, you know, 2 to 3 minutes is, that's the attention span. And what I've understand from a lot of video experts I've talked to is that, you know, the sweet spot in video is 30 to 90 seconds. That's, you know, and if you can get a good message across in that time frame, then awesome. But it's got to be something that, again, is, you know, I mean, if you could start off every single one of your videos with an explosion, you know, it's like all of a sudden you're scrolling down, all of a sudden something goes boom, you know, somebody's going to pay attention to it, as opposed to, you know, here's my mug sitting on there waiting for you to click on me so I can speak at you. but, you know, so there's all kinds of fun philosophies. So what other things, are there any other, like, nuggets in your book that you've been just getting, you know, lots of rave reviews on or feedback on that have been, you know, making people stand up and pay attention?
Yeah, because I'm like you, I'm old.
we're aged, dude. We're like...
We're experienced.
We're aged. We're experienced, yes. Don't call me old and get off my lawn!
But we know it's not about spamming people and being really cool in videos. It's about building a connection one-to-one. If you want a lot of clients, you run ads. If you want a wide net. But if you're just a small business person, spend some time. Spend an hour a day on LinkedIn engaging with people. Have conversations.
Mm-hmm.
If they're local, hey, let's get a cup of coffee. I just reconnected with somebody that I haven't talked to in like 10 years. So we used to go to BNI together. Hey, we're going for coffee. Good old fashioned build relationships. And it just eventually you have to get on a phone with someone to sell them.
Right.
And treat people like we're having a cup of coffee.
Kind of like we are virtually right now.
Right. You're not trying to sell me anything. I'm not selling you anything. We're having a great conversation.
Yeah. And that really is the basics. I mean, it's, you know, one of my, I call them baconisms, you know, and that's one place I've been getting a lot of a huge engagement on is I just have these graphics with a coffee cup and a phone and a pad of paper. And in the pad of paper, it just has a quote from me and I call them baconisms. And one of my favorite baconisms is, you know, social media is a relationship building tool first, a content delivery platform second, and a sales tool third. And if you treat it that way, you're going to get much better results.
Exactly. It's a traffic channel. It's like a big BNI meeting with millions of people.
Right.
610 million now.
Right. But what, and here's the thing about, you know, even BNI, and I know this because I've been networking for years. You know how long it takes to really connect with people in a BNI?
Oh, a long time.
Over a year.
Yeah.
You know, so if you go into networking, you know, and I see these people, they flitter in and out of groups. They go to a group, they, you know, they make a splash, and then they leave after, you know, two meetings or a month or something like that. It could take up to 2 years for somebody to actually pay attention to you. And that's where this whole relationship thing comes into play, is everybody's looking for the easy button, the quick buck. And, you know, but, I got the average client for me a lot of times takes about 2 years to become a coaching client. You know, it takes a long time, and you have to be willing to invest in that relationship. But it reaps the best rewards, right?
It's a long-term client. It's probably going to give you referrals too.
Right. So what have you found?
Same thing. But I remember, boy, you make bringing me back to my BNI days. But we used to go every Friday morning, and everyone would get up there. It was like 50 of us, and we'd have our 30 seconds to give our little pitch. And everybody just kind of just says it. And they're not really, they don't care about it. They don't think about changing it up.
Mm-hmm.
And I met with somebody after we'd been in the group together a year, and she goes, oh, I had no idea you did what you're doing. Every Friday for a year, I'm trying different pitches and angles and trying to explain that internet marketing and web development 10 years ago at BNI was like, oh my God, nobody knew what any of that was.
Right.
So it's hard to really get their attention. So that's kind of like everybody's doing on LinkedIn. It's like a big meeting and everybody's just blasting these boring generic messages at each other.
Mm-hmm.
Like you got to stand out. You got to be different. Like you're bacon. People love bacon.
They do.
So it gets their attention. It has nothing to do with what you do in your business, but you know, it gets people's attention.
Right. And what freaks them out more is when they figure out that bacon's an acronym for Building Authentic Connections Online Networking. And they hear that and go, oh, dude, that's deep. But that's it. I mean, it really is. It's all about, you know, investing, taking time. And if you do that, there is no question in my mind that LinkedIn is by far the best platform for business to do this. But there are no shortcuts. You can't walk in and tap somebody on the shoulder and say, would you marry me? You wouldn't do that in real life, and you can't do that on LinkedIn.
Right. Two statistics I recently saw from Microsoft's last earnings report,
mm-hmm.
which kind of it reinforces what's happening. LinkedIn engagement is up over 30% since last quarter. That means more people are engaging with each other. They didn't really describe what engagement meant, but there used to be 23% logged in once a month. Now 40% of LinkedIn members are logging in more than once a month.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going on there and they're engaging with people, which in the back, you know, the other old days when we first joined, it was like, oh yeah, do some LinkedIn answers and post your resume. And that's all you could do. So it's the hot place right now.
Absolutely. Okay. So let's talk book, baby. People want to get your book. How do they do it?
You can go to buyultimateguide.com.
That's easy.
Yeah.
So buyultimateguide.com and they can get a copy of your book.
Yeah, it's free plus $7.95 shipping and handling.
That's fantastic. That's great, man. And it's I'm telling everybody, just go get it. Bottom line, it's, you know, Ted knows this stuff. He's been doing this a long time. He's written the book numerous times, and there isn't anybody else I know that, you know, stays on top of it like you do. I mean, that's the one thing. You and I have one major thing in common is we both spend a lot of time on these platforms learning what's going on, you know. And that makes all the difference in the world. You're not just spewing other people's stuff. You're actually in there doing it and living it and reporting back on what's working and what's not, as opposed to just saying, here's my theory.
I think what makes us both different too is we're not trying to figure out how to game the system.
Right.
We're trying to use it legitimately. So when they make these algorithm changes to knock off the people that are gaming the system, we're still going to say rise to the top.
Well, yeah, we've got that consistency of the relationship building and you know, the organic side of things as opposed to the mechanical side of things.
Yeah, I could imagine if I had my account suspended.
Yeah, oh my, yeah. Well, and the scary part is it could happen, you know, and that's why you got to get people on your list and get them off the site. You know, it's like, even though I love these, you still got to have a home base. You got to invest in it. So speaking of home bases, spell out your name so everybody who's listening knows how to spell Ted Promoto.
P-R-O, D as in David, R-O, M-O-U.
Awesome. And so if they want to connect with Ted on LinkedIn, which is where you should, just spell that out. You'll find him. And if they want to connect with you any other way, what's the best way to do that?
YourLinkedInCoach.com.
Fabulous. Well, Ted, as usual, man, it's a blast talking with you. I love it. And you have dropped some incredible, sizzling hot bacon knowledge bombs on my peeps, man. I appreciate you and your time. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Hey, thank you very much. I love talking to you too.
Well, that's it for today's Bacon Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it and learned something today. If you did, please go to iTunes and give us a review. We appreciate all your feedback and comments. If you have any questions, go to www.baconpodcast.com/questions, and we'll make sure we get those answered for you. Till next time, keep sizzling.